You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
We're calling our message today, Pass It On. Turn to the person next to you and say, pass it on. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got my mum, when I was growing up, she had a jewelry box. And this jewelry box had the good stuff. Now, mum had a lot of costume jewelry, a lot of, you know, fun and fabulous things. But then she had the good stuff. This was like the stuff that she'd received from her mother, and it was the gold, and it was the rings, and it was the stuff that, you know, was precious and valuable to her. In fact, this pendant came from my mum. And yes, I've nicked it. No, I haven't. She gave it to me. And but it was a moment that as I was growing up, I knew that a lot of those pieces of jewelry were going to pass down to me. You see, at the table, there is a lot of passing on. Pass the salt, pass the mashed potatoes. We are passing on. And just like that, mum was passing on something of value that she had to me. Now, it's not just objects. My mum has also passed down to me a lot of wisdom. You know, I was a shy kid growing up. Very self-conscious, cripplingly self-conscious. And I remember I'd come home from school and I would be on the, you know, in the aftermath of absolute mortification because something had happened at school and I was worried about what were people thinking of me and what was it. I couldn't go back to school again on the next day because it was just mortifying what had happened. And I was so worried about other people's opinions. And mum, out of all of the wisdom, the plethora of wisdom that she has shared with me, has shared with me one thought, one truth, if you like, that has always stayed with me. And she would say to me, with love in her eyes, and just the affection that only a mother can give, she would say, people don't think of you, Soph, half as much as you think they do. Now, it was a bit of a shock because I think people are thinking about me all the time. Surely the world revolves around me, mum, you know. But it was a hard truth, but it was a liberating truth. So you've probably got examples of that in your own life where maybe parents or grandparents have passed down something to you. But it's not just objects. It can be all sorts of things. Now, Glenn talks about his dad quite a bit when he's preaching, but he was my father-in-law. But before he was my father-in-law, he was my theology lecturer at Bible College. And he passed down to me in the very short time that I knew him, which was 2 years. He passed down to me this passion for Christ, this passion for the church, and you know, it's something, it's a legacy that has stayed with me all of this time. Can you think in your own life, who has passed down passion for Jesus, passion for his word, passion for his presence, passion for his promises, passion for his plan, for the planet? I'll tell you what, Bryn Barrett kept me sane in Bible College. That's for another day. I'll let you know what happened there. But we've all got something that has been passed on to us, whether it's been encouragement, whether it's been, you know, heirlooms, whether it's been faith. Everybody has experienced something that has been passed down to them. And this highlights a very important truth, and that is life is not an individual sport. which is countercultural because we like to think that it's my life and it's my choices and it's my, you know, I have the right to do what I want to do. As long as it's not hurting anybody else, then I have the right to do what I want to do. But life is not an individual sport. That is a fallacy. It's a fallacy. No man is an island, they say. But the Bible talks about life not being an individual sport, but more like a relay race. Now, in the Olympics, when you see the relay race, you've got four runners. Now, you could argue with me that that is four individuals running four individual races that make up a relay race. You could make that argument. But there are three crucial moments in a relay race. And that is the moment when one runner is passing on the baton to the other. And that is the moment that everybody's heart stops, you know, you stop breathing. Because if you mess up that moment, it's game over. If you fumble the baton, if you hold on too long, if the runner who's running next doesn't quite grab it, if it's not timed to perfection, then that is race over. I mean, think about this. You could have run your personal best. You could have even have broken a world record for the length of the distance that you ran. But if you do not pass on the baton successfully, if you don't pass the baton on well, the race is lost. It doesn't matter. And what we're talking about today is that moment that it seems like it's a millisecond, but it's when two hands are on the baton. Pass it on. Turn to the person next to you and say, pass it on. I tell you what, it's a realization at that moment that I need you and you need me, that we are in a relay race. Now, there's two opposing perspectives that war against this truth, that we need each other and that we are here at, you know, on the planet at this moment to pass on what we have to each other. The first mindset that wars against this is the fact that I've got nothing to pass down, or nothing of value, or nothing good. The only thing that's been passed down to me, Pastor Soph, is disappointment, is brokenness, is addiction, is dysfunction, is failure. But every single one of us, if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you have made him Lord and Savior, if you are following him, you've got something to pass on. You've got something to say. You've got something to share. You've got some faith story to give to somebody else. The second mindset that wars against this, and I have heard this. This is not made up. I have heard somebody say, why should I make it easier for somebody else? Nobody made it easier for me. Or the next generation, they've got to suffer just as much as I suffered. But is that what the Bible says? Is that what God's heart is? We're talking about the table. We're talking about a sharing together, a passing on, a making space for others to come. We're talking about a table that was with 12 people in that Last Supper that turned into 120 people on the day of Pentecost, Happy Pentecost Sunday, and that turned into 3,000 people from all nations the next day. We're talking about an ever-increasing table here on the planet that is the church. And that requires you and I to pass it on, to pass on the baton of faith, to make sure that we don't mess that up, to make sure that we're passing down the baton of faith well. I'm reading from Psalm 78, verses 1 to 6 in the Message paraphrase. It says this, Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I am chewing on a morsel of a proverb. I'll let you in on the sweet old truths. Stories we heard from our fathers. Counsel we learned at our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. He planted a witness in Jacob, set his word firmly in Israel, then commanded our parents to teach it to their children so the next generation would know and all the generations to come know the truth and tell the story so their children can trust in God. Never forget the works of God, but keep his commands to the letter. Pass it on. Now, we're not talking just about age, because it's got nothing to do with age. We saw that, didn't we, in COVID, where children were teaching their parents and their grandparents how to get online, how to work on. No, this is not about age. This is about sharing what you have that is of value, what you have learned in your walk with God, of your relationship, of your steps of faith that you can pass on to somebody else. Somebody needs to hear your story. Somebody needs to know how you have walked with God. Somebody needs to hear your successes. Somebody needs to hear your failures, because in the passing on, this is where we see God at work. Pass it on to somebody. Say, pass it on. It's a spirit. Let me tell you three things that we get to pass on. Three batons. The first one is exploits. Exploits. Let's read here from Psalm 78. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Exploits, not my exploits, not just the Bible's, the heroes of the faith exploits, but your exploits. This is where you get to run your race. It might seem obvious, but you can't pass on the baton of faith unless you are running. Church, are you running? Sir, madam, are you running? This is about your race. This is about your legacy of what God has done in your life. Have you got stories of where God has proven himself faithful? Have you got stories of where you have encountered the living God? Have you got stories of where you have persevered? Have you got stories of where you've praised when you didn't want to praise? Have you got stories when you obeyed when it was difficult? Have you got stories of surrender? Have you got stories of faith? This is about each and every one of us committing to run. The Bible says that our life is like a mist. It just appears for a little while and then it is gone. It's time to run. It's time for you to prove God. It's time for you to see God move in your life. This is about you breaking your shape. This is what I call breaking your shape. You see, you have a shape. And the shape that you are in this current form today is the shape that has been molded by all of your experiences and all of your decisions up until this point. But if you're going to run your race, you're going to have to learn and be committed to breaking your shape, stepping into the unknown, stepping into uncertainty, stepping out in faith. When you feel those niggles of the Holy Spirit to step up in your workplace, when you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when he puts his finger on something in your heart and in your soul and says, daughter, son, that doesn't belong there. That's going to hinder you. It's going to entangle you. It's going to stop you from running your race when you obey the Holy Spirit, when you surrender your life to Him. You are running your race. Those are your exploits. And you can say, well, you know, it's nothing big. No, anything done in faith is an exploit. No matter how small it may appear, no matter how large it may appear, you are running your race. People are watching. People are watching. And as you run your race, church, you're building bridges for the next generation. You're filling in gaps for them. You're lifting the ceiling of your own life so that you can lift the launch pad for the next generation. Run your race. This is not a spectator sport. It's not an individual sport. It's a relay race. And you get one race, one moment, one life to make sure that you run your race. You see, it's not just sharing stories. It's not just sharing experiences. It's not just sharing wisdom. There's something powerful, significant, when we pass on what we have to somebody else. You see, there are people who have molded me just by me reading their stories or hearing about their stories. The stories that my mom told me when I was younger. The stories that my father-in-law told when I was at Bible college. All of these stories have molded me and shaped me. I remember as a young woman, 18 years of age, only been a Christian for a year, and I read Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger. Anybody read that book? A young British woman who in 1966 went to Hong Kong and she became a missionary in the walled city in Hong Kong, which was an area where even the police didn't go. It was run by triads and opiate addiction run rife in that place. It was a godless place. It was a dangerous place. And yet she went and she saw people come off drugs just in the power of the Holy Spirit. She would pray with them all night while they went cold turkey and pray in the Holy Spirit. These stories shaped me and they formed my identity. I remember hearing about the Moravians in the 1700s, a missionary movement started by Count von Zinzendorf, and how they laid their lives down and how they went to far reaches of the world and unreached people groups and people who would never even hope to hear the gospel, but they went because they were arrested. They were consumed by this Jesus who every single person on the planet needed to know. It wasn't about their own safety. It wasn't about their own agenda. They had laid their lives down and said, "Not my will, but yours be done." As I heard those stories, my identity was being shaped. This is who you are, Soph. This is who you're not. This is what's important, Soph. This is what is not. This is what you do, Soph. This is what you don't do. That is the power of passing on. You see, the world thinks that identity comes from your feelings. You look inside and how do I feel today and that is who I am. No, your identity does not come from how you feel. It doesn't come from what society says. It is the stories that you hear of faith, of men and women of faith. They're passing the baton on to you. They're saying, this is who we are as God's people. This is what we're passionate about. This is what we live for. This is how we view suffering. This is how we view adversity. We are trained by it. We are disciplined by it. We are strengthened by it. Oh, I'm running out of time. I'm running out of time. Pass it on. Somebody say, pass it on. Second baton is encouragement. Stories we heard from our fathers. Counsel we learned at our mother's knee. This is what we're about. We're imparting courage. We're putting courage when we pass on our stories, when we pass on the baton of faith, when we pass on all the things that Jesus has done, all the things that God has done, all of our exploits. We are putting courage. This is who we are. We are a courageous people. We are a resilient people. We are a faithful people. We are a generous people. We are a faith-filled people. This is who we are. You're putting courage, hope, and confidence into the next generation. How many know that people need it? Just little encouragements here. The encouragement of this too shall pass. If you're under the age of 21, give me a wave. Some hopefuls over there. Delusional, should I say. To all those who are online, whatever you're walking through that feels like it's a disaster, that it feels like the world is ending, that it feels like there is no hope, and how can you come back from this? This too shall pass. When you think that everybody loves you and you're kicking goals, and everybody's crying out your name, and you are this, and you are that, and you're all this, this too shall pass. It's not what we live for. The opinions of others. In pain, the Lord is there. He will walk with you. He will strengthen you, and He will guide you. Don't avoid it. Embrace it. It will make you. In the impossible, there is always opportunity. Always opportunity for God to move. Embrace the impossible. Failure is never final. Go again. Failure is never final. Go again. Go again. Always run to Jesus, never from Him. The third baton is inheritance. We're putting tools in people's hands. It's nothing more frustrating than having to do a job in the house, a DIY job, and you just haven't got the tools. You know, like trying to mow the lawn with a pair of scissors. You ain't got that Phillips screwdriver. That screw that needs a Phillips screwdriver, and you just haven't got the right size, and it's just spinning. And you can't unscrew it. That is the epitome of frustration. When you want to do something, but you don't know how to get there. Share your story. It's putting tools in the hands of the next generation. It's allowing them to know earlier what you knew later, so that they can run further and faster than we have ever run. It's not about age. Let me get that right into your spirit. It's not about age. People need to know what you know, even if it's little. Even if it's like, you know, fish and loaves. In God's hands, what could it do? As you share what you have with somebody who needs it. We're going to pray. I'm going to get Pastor Keith to come and pray, but this is my encouragement to you. Run your race. Somebody's waiting on the line, ready to receive the baton, but you've got to run your race. Don't shy away from what God is saying. Don't shy away from obedience. Don't shy away from pain. Don't shy away from adversity. Don't shy away from awkward. Don't shy away from uncomfortable. If He is leading you on, that is where you go. You have something to give, no matter how small you think it is. Somebody needs to know what you know. Pass it on. Imagine, church, what we would be like, what the generation, the next generation will be like, if we all took responsibility to pass it on.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.